hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It's a gift. It's a gift from Jesus Christ. A gift that he died on the cross that we could have it. I want to read the definition a little bit, the grace, what grace means. Grace is defined as God's unmerited favor and kindness towards humanity. In particular, the context of salvation is a gift of God that cannot be earned through works, but is received through faith in Jesus Christ. Good news of God's grace. God's character is he gives us grace, the unworthy, the undeserving sinner. God bestows this great gift on us. He bestowed it on me, and he bestowed it on you. And you got saved. This great gift. I want to read this part. Essential part of God's favor toward God's benevolence on God is willing to forgive us and bless us abundantly, even though the fact is that we don't deserve it while we are in a sinful state. Even though we're in a sinful state, God bestows this great grace on us. Isn't that amazing? He loves us so much that he loves us when we're sinners. He loved us then too, but he wanted us to do better. He wanted us to get this gift and get saved and get help. God has treated us so well, or you can say God has treated us generously. Generously. And we never want to forget that. We always want to praise him for that. And I'm so glad that we have the songs that we sing that we can praise God for that. And we can praise him in our life and praise him by pleasing him. That's one thing that we want to do, is always have that desire, Lord, because of what you did for me, I don't want to let you down. I don't want to displease you. I don't want to make a mistake and do wrong. I don't want to, because you've been so good to me. Like the song we sang tonight, he's been so good to us that we don't want to let him down. You know, when you have a good friend, you don't want to let that friend down. And so that's the way it is. Jesus is our dearest friend. We sing, what a friend we have in Jesus. There's no better friend to have in your life than Jesus. He'll go with you all the way to the very end and take you to heaven. And he's the best friend in the world. And, you know, even though maybe sometimes we may not feel and we may not know exactly how he's working, we still can trust him. We can trust him. That's one thing about God that I have found through living for him, that even in some of the darkest times, God just works it out and he makes something good out of it. He makes something good out of it. And it's just like the story about that violin, the touch of the master's hand. You know, that the violin was just going to be sold at an auction. It was all battered and scarred and didn't think it was worth anything. But when this man that knew how to play the violin dusted it off and started playing it, it played such beautiful music. And I said, that's just the way it is with us. We're battered and scarred in sin, and then the Lord comes and he plays such beautiful music out of our life because he gives us the grace of God and he saves us from sin. He sanctifies our nature. And he makes a beautiful life out that we couldn't have made the beautiful life. But because the touch of the master's hand, he makes a beautiful life. I thank the Lord for the grace of God. 2 Corinthians 4:15 says, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. And it says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And just thinking, you know, in life, we have many things that happen to us, but God gives us abundant grace in those hours of need. Sometimes it's affliction, sometimes it's a car accident, sometimes it's the death of someone you love dearly. Whatever it is, God bestows great grace at that time that you need it. That's so wonderful about God. He has abundant grace that he can bestow on us any moment. All we got to do is call out to God for that help that we need. And he just pours it on us. He just gives it to us. And you know, we don't realize sometimes, or really think about it, that it's always there. It's just that God gives it right when we need it. He I don't know how to explain it exactly. It's a miracle. But he does do that. He gives us, he carries us through. It's just like that scripture, I mean, a little story about the footsteps. Why, Lord, was there only one set of footsteps when I needed you the most? He said, because I was carrying you. I was there, but I was carrying my child. And so that's why the grace of God just comes on when we need him. Otherwise, I don't know how we would make it. Because sometimes life is not always easy. Life is wonderful. And I've been richly blessed with life. But there's been some hard places. There's been some hard times. And like my dear mother, she's 92. And I can just think about losing my mom. And I'll start crying. So I don't know what it's going to be when it happens. But I know God's grace is sufficient. If I'm still living, and she goes, you know, that God will take me through. But, you know, we wonder about these things. How are we going to face it? How are we going to go through it? But, you know, God has grace to give it to us, you know, because he knows how much we love somebody. But sometimes we have to let them go on. And it's hard. It's very hard. It's very difficult. I don't know how people make it. The only thing I can say is God gives them grace. He gives them strength, and he'll give you grace when you need that. He's pre-promised to do that. 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. There's something wonderful about grace. It comes from Jesus. For we know, 8 and 9, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. So you know, Jesus was God, and he was very rich. He was the Son of God. He owned the world. You know, he could do anything. You know, he owned the whole world. He still owns the whole world. But he came down as a little babe in a dirty old barn, so to speak, and there he was with the lowly. He was born in the very lowly in a barn. But then he was buried in a rich man's cave. I often thought about that. He covered every social status, the poor and into the rich. What he's trying to say is, I love all of you. And he wasn't too proud to be born in a little stable. He wasn't. He came very lowly. Very lowly. The King of Kings. The Lord of Lords. Oh, it's such a wonderful story. I'm glad he was born in that stable. I'm glad he was born in a little barn. It just makes the story even sweeter because we realize that the Son of God was not proud. He was humble. He was loving. He was merciful. He was kind. He just came. God sent his Son that way to show us, I'm coming to save your souls. I'm coming to give you grace. And he highly exalts his name above every name, that everyone, every knee shall bow to Jesus Christ. Even though he suffered death, it looked like on the cross that they had the better advantage. They did not have the better advantage because in 3 days he arose again. He arose from the dead, and he gave us victory over death. He's a powerful Savior. If you've got Jesus tonight, you've got everything. You don't need nothing else. We might need a few things in this world to get by, but I tell you what, the greatest gift is what we got in our soul, Jesus Christ. That's the greatest gift. I wouldn't want to do anything to hurt my relationship with Jesus Christ. He's the sweetest thing. He's the sweetest person. He's a wonderful God. And oh, I just thank the Lord tonight. For God has treated us so well and so generous. And we want to go over here to Romans 3 and 4. Oh, I just thank the Lord for the grace of God. Oh, saints, just remember this message tonight. You might not need it so much tonight, but there's going to be some time in your life you're going to need grace. You're going to need grace from God to go through it. It's going to be a hard time. And when that time comes, you pray to God, and he'll give you grace that you need, whether it's grief, whether it's an affliction, whether whatever trouble of any kind, hurt feelings, or whatever it is, God will give you grace, and you can call on God. You can call on him all the time. If you need more, ask the Lord, Lord, give me more grace. I need some help right now. I do that sometimes. I say, Lord, I want to be what you want me to be. You help me, Lord. Give me everything I need. You know, the Lord is able to do that. Romans 5, what did it say? Romans 3 and 4, first of all. Romans 5 and 6. For when we were yet without strength, I love this scripture. What does that mean? You know, when I got saved, I had a lot of strength physically. I was 18 years old, just turned 18 in October. I got saved November 12th. I was young. I was full of strength physically. I was just, you know, run, jump, do it, everything. I was just full of life. But my inward man, my inward self needed lots of help. I was without strength. I was without strength to conquer sin. I was without strength to conquer myself. I was without strength to be a saint of God. And the Lord bestowed on that young person, he bestowed the grace of God. The blood of Jesus saved me from sin and gave me the grace of God to live a holy life and started leading and guiding me just like he does you. Praise God. So when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. He died for the ungodly. He died for the ugly. He died. I'm talking about ugliness of sin. Sin is ugly. Sin is terrible. Sin is, it's just like, you know, the man on the side of the road. And Brother Moody and another man was, he was a great leader, you know, and he was a minister. And he was all straightened out with God and everything. These two brethren were. And they were going down the road and looking at this man on the side of the road. He was begging for money maybe and just dirty and dirty clothes and needed God, you know. And they were looking at him. The one man commented, look at that man. And D.L. Moody, I think he quoted, said, you know what, that could be me. That could be me right there if Jesus hadn't saved my soul. And I'm not going to make fun of that person because that could be me. And dear ones, I want you to look at people like that in the world. It's so sad when you see them. Realize that could be you if God hadn't given you the grace of God. If he hadn't saved your soul from sin, that could be you and I. But because he bestowed upon us, that's where we are to be ambassadors for Christ. We are to reach out and show them a better way. Teach them to come to God. You know, I've mentioned many times to Grandma Eva Wilkins, but she did that with me. After I got saved, she taught me. She taught me the grace of God. She taught me the scripture. She taught me the truth. She was my mentor. She worked with me. And you know, that's a wonderful thing, isn't it? How God can just take someone and save their soul is wonderful. All of us tonight, I know that, and we can experience that. And it's wonderful, isn't it? So it says here, for when we were yet without strength, you know what? We do not have the strength to fight the devil alone. And one time, I don't know what it was, but I had a dream. And there was a big desk, like something like this pulpit. I can't pick this up. But in this dream, I mean, I don't know what the devil was doing in my life. He was trying to fight me. But in this dream, I picked it up. Picked the whole dresser up, and the enemy was coming at me in this dream, and I threw it on him, and I said, in the name of Jesus, and I smashed him. I smashed him, and you know what? I was so happy when I woke up, but I said, Lord, I can't pick up that dresser. He said, but I can, and in the name of Jesus, you can do all things. And you can smash the devil in the name of Jesus, not in your strength, but in his strength you can do it. I know God gave me that dream. That was encouragement to me. Not that I didn't want the devil coming at me, but I liked that Jesus helped me to pick that up and throw it at him. Praise God. So you can have strength in Christ. Scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be safe from the wrath through him. So for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. You know, I know when I wasn't saved, I didn't think about being an enemy to God. But really, you know, we're either on one side or the other. You know, we just can't be in the middle. We're either living for God or we're living for the devil. And so if we're not living for God, then we're enemy of God. We're enemy of Christ. But when we accept Jesus and he accepts us, then we're on his side. Thank the Lord. So I just thank the Lord for that. In Romans 15:21, praise God. I love the grace of God. Romans 15:21. I don't know if I got the right one there either. Sorry about that. So let's go on to Romans 6:22. I don't think I read that. 6:22. But now being made free from sin, you and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Isn't that wonderful? It's not wonderful that the wages of sin is death, but it's wonderful, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the greatest gift. The greatest the greatest gift is Jesus. The song that we sang, 45, is The Wondrous Grace. Some may think that as we receive so much grace, salvation and sanctification, two works of grace, Jesus' blood is in both of these gifts of grace. That would be a whole different message, but we know the blood of Jesus saves us from sin and the blood of Jesus sanctifies us. There's two works of grace through his blood. So we must, our job is to submit to God. Ask for grace, and there is, grace can be applied any moment in your life when it gets hard. We can experience how God's grace works and is revealed in our daily lives. I'm going to just shortly mention this, I think I mentioned before, but Jerry's grandmother lost two sons in one day. I can't even hardly take it that in. It's so awful hard. I mean, I hear it, but I can't imagine what she felt like, is what I'm trying to say. But she told me, she was standing in the kitchen, and her oldest son, which Jerry was named after, lived next door. And, you know, Sister Karen knows LaVita was married to him. And they had a little boy, Daryl, and he died with the COVID. But anyway, the police came, they were in a car wreck on the way to work. Donnie lived at home, he was the youngest son, but he was about 18 or 19. He worked with his brother. So they went on the way to work, and what was strange is Grandpa came home that day. He had picked up a newspaper, but he didn't look at the headlines. He laid it on the seat, and it told about the car accident and about his sons, but he didn't look at it till he got home. That was the mercy of God. But when the policeman knocked on the door and told her, your one son, Jerry, he's in the hospital, he's dying, but Donnie's already gone. Donnie's already died. He died at the seat. She said she just looked up to God, and she's, God, I got to have help. I got to have extra help right now to go through this. You know, life is not always easy. But she called on the Lord, and I'll tell you one thing, I'll testify for Grandma. Grandma was a saint of God. If there ever was one, she was one. I know Grandma. And Grandma called on the Lord, and she said she felt the presence of God just come right over her. She said she just felt it. She felt God just came over her and carried her through. And one of the sister ministers, I forgot which one it was, but she got to the hospital first, and she was dealing with Brother Jerry. And said, Jerry, he was very bad hurt. He died, but he was able to talk a little bit. And she says, are you saved and ready to go to meet the Lord? And he said, yes. And she said, well, now I just want you to relax in the arms of Jesus. He'll take care of you. And so he just kind of leaned back and he died. That was a testimony. He said, yes, I'm ready. And you know, that's a hard place. What I'm trying to bring out is sometimes we go through hard places. God can give us grace to make it. We don't know what's facing us in the future. We don't know what we're going to have to go through. But God is going to help us, saints. He's going to take us through. I know He will. I know He's never failed us. He always helps us out. He's a wonderful God. I had this thought about, if you kind of understand this a little bit, but and a recipe, you know, when you have a recipe. And sometimes my family knows that if I have a recipe and I don't have a certain thing, I try to replace it with something else. And I think it might work. Sometimes it works, sometimes it's a failure. But I get this in my head that I can make up my own recipe. And sometimes it works great. You know, but sometimes it doesn't. But I'm thinking about God has a He has a certain recipe all laid out for us, but we got to use it like His ingredients. We can't try to replace it. We got to use it just like He planned. He planned us to get saved and get sanctified and get baptized. We can't try to come up different ways. We got to do His recipe. We can't try to replace it with something. Well, I'll just take a little shortcut here. It's not going to work. You got to do it just like the recipe, and then it'll turn out just right. Right? And so anyway, Colossians 1 and 21. The Lord is able to help us too. 1 and 21 says, "And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unprovable in His sight. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister." So, you that were sometimes not saved, your enemies, and now you're reconciled in the body of His flesh through His death, He does all this to get us to be holy and unblameable. We cannot be holy without God. We cannot be unblameable without God. But with His Holy Spirit and with His blood, we can be that way. And we call each other saints. You know, everything about we're calling each other saints. Some of the world might think we're oh, dear, you're calling yourself a saint? We're called a saint not because we're trying to be, you know, put ourselves up, but it's because He sanctified us and He calls us to be saints. He calls us to be holy. He calls us to be pure. There's nothing wrong with that. He wants us to be saints. He wants us to be. He said, "I called you to be saints. I called you to be holy. I called you to be unblameable. Don't take any shortcuts. Be what God wants you to be. Be everything God wants you to be by His grace, the grace of God." And if I read this one, Romans 3, go back a little bit. I don't think I read that. Romans 3 and 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." What does that mean? That every one of us one time was a sinner. We had to be saved. We couldn't get saved any other way. We all have done wrong. We've all sinned. Some people get saved earlier. Some people get saved later. "Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is He the God of the Jews only? Is He not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also, seeing it is one God, which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid, yea, we establish the law." In other words, being justified were justified freely by his grace. Freely by his grace. There's no other thing, no other way. He accepts everybody that wants to be saved now. Everybody. Saved by his grace. Ephesians 1:6. We are accepted in the beloved. It says here, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Praise God. We should shout and jump and shout and praise the Lord. Because he gave us his grace. It's wonderful. It's never got old. You know, we get older, but the grace of God does not get old. It's in there. It's in there. It's still in there. It's, praise the Lord. It's wonderful. So, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. I thank the Lord for the riches of his grace. And then I have one more scripture, Lord willing. 1 Corinthians 15:10. There's lots of more scriptures. 15:10 says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. So, you know, all of us that are saved and sanctified, it's only by his grace. If, you know, I know I talk about Brother Warner sometimes. I like to read the First Reformation. And I just read some before I came here. And this person was saying, oh, Brother Warner, I finally got to meet you, Brother Warner. And he goes, oh. He said, I'm just one of the least of the, you know, I know how he worded it, but just one of the least of you, you know. He always tried to be humble, you know, and he was. He was humble, even though he was well-blessed in scriptures and well-blessed in preaching. He just felt like he's one of God's little ones. And that's how we want to feel. We're just one of God's little ones. If he hadn't saved us, we would be nothing. We'd just be lost in sin. But it says here, 15:10, but by the grace I am of God, I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. Saints, that's what we need to be like. The grace that God bestowed upon you, you don't want it to be in vain. I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. So the grace of God, that the Lord saved you from sin, you want to be pleasing to the Lord and be faithful. And I have this, I'm going to read just a little, this song, a little bit of it, read it. Fanny Crosby wrote this song. She said, she wrote, listen to this, 8,000 or 9,000, they said she wrote hymns. That's amazing, isn't it? And she said, but this was one of her favorites, because she was blind. She was blind, and she said someday she's going to see Jesus. Because someone asked her, what do you want to see first of all? When you see and you go to heaven, she goes, I want to see Jesus' face. And she writes this, someday the silver cord will break. Now, you know Fanny Crosby? It wasn't her just wrote these songs. See, the Holy Spirit, she felt God's presence. He would come upon her, and she felt inspired, and she'd sit down and start writing, and the words would just come to her. And so they're coming from God. They're just not coming from her. Someday the silver cord will break, and I no more as now shall sing. But oh, the joy when I shall wake within the palace of the King. Someday my earthly house will fall, and I cannot tell how soon 'twill be. But this I know, my all in all has now a place in heaven for me. Someday when fades the golden sun beneath the rosy tinted west, my blessed Lord will say, well done, and I shall enter into rest. Someday till then I'll watch and wait, my lamp all trimmed and burning bright, that when my Savior opens the gate, my soul to him may take its flight. And the chorus is, and I shall see him face to face, and tell the story saved by grace. And I shall see him face to face, and tell the story, Saved by Grace. It tells, I have a couple books at home that I bought at Mardell's, but it tells the story, you know, behind the song. I like to read them and make copies. But anyway, I hope this message helped encourage you tonight that the grace of God is the greatest gift. As we go through the Christmas season, we can thank the Lord for the greatest gift that He ever bestowed upon us. Love Him so much.